With a debt crisis that threatens to send his country into default, Greece's leader stays home.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Greek Prime Minister George Papandreou says he won't travel to the U.S. this week as planned, with so much business to attend to and trouble going on at home. Meanwhile, the Greek finance minister today lashed out against European neighbors and international bankers. From the Marketplace European Desk, Stephen Beard reports.
The pressure is piling on to the Greeks. They've been given 2 weeks to stave off default. They have to convince the EU and the IMF they deserve the next chunk of their bailout money. If they fail, they'll run out of cash in October. The Greek finance minister says the EU and the IMF are using Greece as an excuse to hide their own incompetence. The ill feeling seems to be mutual. Julian Pendock of investment firm Senhouse Capital says Greece's European partners are becoming more reluctant to bail out their recalcitrant neighbour.
The Germans recognise it won't work. The Finnish recognise it won't work. Other countries are becoming more hesitant and attitudes are hardening and people are getting more and more fed up with Greece's promises, which many people suspect they cannot adhere to.
According to one report, the Greeks have been asked to cut 100,000 jobs in the public sector, and this in a country where unemployment has reached 17%. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
In Yemen today, security forces shot and killed at least four dozen protesters. Large crowds took to the streets demanding the ouster of the country's president. Yemen is yet another Arab country whose people seek change, but the economics there are very different from its neighbors. Hakim Al-Masmari is editor of the English newspaper The Yemen Post, and he's with us now from the capital of Sana'a. Hi, Hakim.
Hello.
What are you seeing? Are you seeing any evidence of protester casualties there in Sana'a?
Protesters have been attacked over the last 28 hours here in Sana'a as they were marching in the streets. Government forces, without stopping or without any worries, shot directly at protesters' heads, killing at least 50 from what our sources have confirmed over the last 24 to 30 hours.
What are they protesting?
The protesters are demanding that President Saleh's regime is ousted from power. President Saleh has been in power for 33 years, and they are demanding that he leaves due to corruption cases and the killing of at least 2,000 protesters in Yemen over the last 7 months.
How is the economy in Yemen at the moment? Are people being affected by these protests?
Before the protests even started, Yemen had a very, very fragile economy. Right now, it's completely dead. The people are living on basically water and bread. More than 3 million jobs have been lost this year alone. It's just crazy how these people are living under this current situation.
You know, when I think of Yemen, I obviously it's in the Middle East. I'm thinking it's an economy dependent upon oil, is it?
Yemen is mostly dependent on international support. Yes, Yemen has oil. Yemen has international seashores, fishing industries, and so on. But Yemen, being a corrupt nation, has very, very little to live on. That is why it needs international support that it has been getting over the last 15 years to ensure that the economy does not collapse.
Hakim Al-Masmari is the editor of the Yemen Post. Hakim, thank you.
You're welcome.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are down right now for the most part, an average of 1 to 3% in Europe at the moment. A new poll by the Associated Press and CNBC shows only 2 in 10 Americans believe they'll achieve wealth sometime in the next 10 years. Wall Street Friday, make it 5 gains in a row for markets here at home. The Dow tacked on 75 points, up every day last week to close at 11,509.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. By Thomson Reuters, committed to empowering professionals of the world with the knowledge needed to do what they do best, the Knowledge Effect. And by Allianz, providing retirement solutions that can help to guarantee income for life through its affiliated companies in the U.S. AllianzUSA.com.
This morning, President Obama will outline a new proposal that will up the tax rate for the wealthiest Americans. In the meantime, Republicans want to cut entitlement programs such as Medicare and Medicaid. From the Marketplace Health Desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Gregory Warner reports.
All the easy cuts to Medicare were made last year to pay for health care reform.
So there really aren't so many obvious places to cut.
Bonnie Washington, senior VP at the consulting firm Avalere Health, says what's left on the table are more painful cuts, cuts to drug payments or to hospital and doctor fees. She says the president may choose to delegate those tough decisions to the nonpartisan committee created by the health law to reduce Medicare spending.
So this new entity will put forth proposals to cut various parts of Medicare spending.
But wherever those cuts fall, be it on the drug companies or doctors or nursing homes, they'll surely argue those cuts will cost jobs. So, should the president sacrifice healthcare jobs to pay for his jobs bill? Yes, says David Cutler, health economist at Harvard.
At that point, what happens is, as healthcare spends less, there are fewer jobs in healthcare, but there are more jobs in other industries because those industries can now afford to hire more people.
Cutler says what the president really needs to do is change the Medicare discussion from cuts to efficiency. The question isn't just how to spend less, but how to get doctors to do less. He gives me this analogy.
It's the difference between Walmart deciding to lower prices by firing workers and thus having the stores be dirtier versus Walmart figuring out how to make its trucks not have to travel as far and so using less gas and bringing goods to market cheaper.
But no one complains when Walmart uses less oil. When a hospital curbs the number of CAT scans, that's a different bag. In Philadelphia, I'm Gregory Warner for Marketplace.
And finally, Heinz, the ketchup people, spent 3 years testing a new dip and squeeze packet. Perfect for eating fries in the car because you can peel open the top without worrying about getting the stuff everywhere. Or you can tear open the packet and squeeze like you've always done. The Wall Street Journal reports Heinz staffers watched people in fake minivans through one-way mirrored glass to see ketchup being used in real life in the car. The packets are 3 times bigger and cost the restaurants 3 times more, which means fast food joints will likely get even stingier with those condiments. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Time to play with the kids or just read a good book. How much is that worth?
We always say, what would you rather have, more money or more time? And I bet you people will always say more time.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Wealth or well-being? And the numbers from Wall Street as well. It's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.